Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the title of today's sermon upon the screen?
Shape Up.
Based on the epistle lesson that Ben read for us today, please listen again to these verses. St. Paul writes, "Have this attitude among yourselves which you find in Christ Jesus, who, though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself, took the form of a servant, came in the likeness of men, humbled himself to the point of death on the cross. Therefore, God the Father exalted him, bestowed upon him the name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." Again, our title is, read it with me one more time, please, Shape Up. Well, today we have some very special guests with us. Today, we have Beverly's sister, Marlene, and Leo, brother-in-law. So, Leo is my favorite brother-in-law. So, if our sermon is Shape Up, Leo, I have two words for you this morning. Shape Up. Have any of you ever been told by somebody else to shape up? A doctor may have told you to get into shape, meaning you should lose some weight and start getting some more exercise. We're all very, though, aware of our physical shape. Everywhere we go, we see health and fitness advertising. Growing teenagers are aware of their changing bodies and their shape and the clothing they wear. Adults are very aware of our shape, extra bulge here and there, the color of our hair, or the lack thereof. But have any of you been told to shape up with different intentions in mind? Shape up. Change your attitude and the way you're thinking and the way you're living. Shape up or ship out doesn't mean start exercising or leave on a boat. Smarten up doesn't mean get an education. When we are told to shape up, what often it means is that an inner change is being called for, an inner change that results in the way that we think and a change in the way that we act. This is Palm Sunday, of course, and we opened up worship with the waving of the palm branches, remembering Jesus' triumphant march into Jerusalem. What shape do you think the cheering crowd wanted Jesus to be in? Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna is a Hebrew word which means save us. But what it really means is give us the goodies, Lord, Kyrie eleison. Hosanna, they yelled to him. They're wondering, was he going to be in the shape of a new king of Israel? To toss the Romans out in their ears, restore and purify the temple, usher in a new era of grandeur like mighty King Solomon? What shape did the Hosanna shouting crowd have in mind for Jesus? Well, I can tell you one shape they didn't have in mind for him, and that was the shape of a crucified Savior. No, they wanted a mighty king. Now, St. Paul in our epistle lesson that Ben read earlier from Philippians 2 talks about the real shape of Jesus. Listen again. Being in the very nature God, Jesus did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself, made himself nothing, taking the very nature and shape of a servant, and he was made in human likeness. The text says Jesus gave up all the glories and honors of heaven and took on the shape of a servant when he was born in this earth. This shape is not at all the shape that the world would like to see today. St. Paul says in the 12th chapter of Romans, this is the shape the world wants to be in, the shape of power and glory and personal wealth. Paul says in Romans 12 to us, do no longer conform to the shape or pattern of this world, but be transformed by your faith in Christ, by the renewing of your mind. The first thing in our epistle lesson today is Paul encourages the Philippians to shape up. He says, have this mind and heart in yourself that you find in Christ Jesus. The first thing our text tells us about shaping up is what shape not to be in. And these things, by the way, are on your sermon outline that you were given today in your handout. The text tells us what shape we're not to be in. The scripture says Jesus did not consider equality with God the Father something to be grasped. But not so our world today. From the very beginning of creation, in Genesis chapter 3, we see that the glorious shape of creation was destroyed when that liar, that devil, that tempter came to our first parents, Adam and Eve, and said, don't believe in what God has said. Listen to me, and I will make you to be like God. What began with Adam and Eve continues through history to our lives today. We all want to be number one. We all want to be the king of the castle. We want to be like God. In ancient Rome, at the time of Christ, the rulers were considered gods. To acknowledge Caesar is Lord is to say Caesar is God. This was a common thing. The Egyptians did it. The Babylonians did it. The Greeks did it. The urge to be of God above all others is really a strong urge to resist. Martin Luther, maybe you've heard of him. Martin Luther described the desire to be above other people is like having a rotting apple core deep in your stomach, undigested, and it makes you sick to your stomach and it makes you belch. He says the desire to set ourselves above others causes us spiritual indigestion. The desire to be godlike continues. From the dog-eat-dog world of the business world, to oppressive national leaders, to children on the playground, the desire to be one-up on somebody else is a part of our sinful selves. Just watch sometimes children playing in the playground at school. Who's in charge? Who's number one? Who's the boss? Did you ever play the child's gang, I'm the king of the castle, and you're the dirty rascal? It seems that Martin Luther's analogy is right. The apple core still lies undigested in our stomach and gives us spiritual indigestion. Now, the second thing our text tells us today, look at your outline, is not what shape we shouldn't be in, but what shape we should be. To shape up in the shape of Jesus is to take the form of a servant. To serve and to love all other people, no matter who they are or what they have done. Jesus says about himself in Matthew chapter 20, listen to Jesus' words, for I, the Son of Man, have come not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. Yet today, let's be realistic. Competition, it's considered a character builder in the business world and in our schools. If you get the highest sales at your job, you win a trip or a bonus. Highest grades in school means recognition and awards. And this kind of thinking has seeped into the church as well. Think about this. A church potluck meal. The winning table, whose number is drawn, gets to go to dinner first. Ha, 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 all the other tables, you have to wait. How about a contest at a potluck in which the winning table gets to serve everybody else and then eat last? Too often in the church, success and bragging rights are measured in the size of our budget and the size of our attendance. Nickels and noses, instead of being measured in faithfulness to God's word and loving service to those in the world around us. Now I'm going to get more personal. What shape are you in? Joel, what shape are you in? Robert, what shape are you in? Patricia, what shape are you in? Ewald, what shape are we all in? If there is something that we could do to change our shape and to be less self-centered and less God-like, you think by now we would have done it. But the truth of the matter is, it's more than just being a little out of shape. This self-centered shape that we all have is terminal. The highest and noblest of our efforts will never cure us or reshape us. We can't just say, I'll try a little harder and be a little better. No, the scripture says that's impossible. Left on our own, we head toward destruction. We die forever separated from our God because of our sinful self-centeredness. But wait. Paul didn't tell us to shape up so that we would either try harder or just give up trying once and for all. Our text today puts our hope not in our best efforts to shape up, but look here and look where my fingers are pointing. Our text points us not to the shape we're trying to get into, but the shape our Lord Jesus took upon himself for you and for me. Listen to what St. Paul says in our text. In being found in the appearance of a man, Jesus humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. This shape that our Lord Jesus took was not desired by the Hosanna singing crowds on Palm Sunday. This shape that Jesus took is a shape that will make you hide your face. It's a shape that will make you turn your eyes away. Jesus set away his heavenly shape and all glory to become a human being. And he was born in the form and the shape of a human being, born in that manger, that stable in Bethlehem. Finally, at the cross, his shape was marred and scorned and bloodied beyond all recognition. Listen to what Isaiah 53 says about Jesus. And as I read these words, would you look toward the crucifix? Isaiah says, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows. He was familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Do you see that Jesus' shape was disfigured for you and for your sins? John the Baptist said of Jesus, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And as Jesus was disfigured and punctured and crucified and bleeding, he was taking upon himself the sins of mankind. And the scripture says, even God the Father turned his eyes away from Christ. The revolting sight of our sin was too much for the Father to bear in his holiness. But on that cross, the price for your sins and my sins were paid. And what was the whole purpose? Paul answers in our epistle lesson. Listen to what he says. And when Paul uses the word therefore, it means now listen carefully. Therefore, Paul says, after his crucifixion, God the Father exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that's above every name, that every knee should bow and tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You see that Jesus was misshapen to give us new shape. I say it again, Jesus was misshapen to give us a new shape. Jesus' perfect life stands in the place of our failures. Jesus' suffering and death washes away our sins. Let me say it again, Jesus was misshapen to give us a brand new shape. In resurrection glory, our sins are forgiven. Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 8. Because of this, Paul says, we are now conformed to the likeness and image of his Son. That means when the Father looks at us from the glories of heaven, he no longer sees Iris in her sin. He no longer sees Don in his filth and his guilt. He sees this only through the precious blood of Christ. We are conformed to the image of his Son. What a great shape to be in. We end this sermon with a short story. I'll pick on myself here. Just a few weeks ago, a very attractive young lady said to me, "You're in good shape." No, she didn't need new glasses. She was my doctor. She's half my age. If you need a great doctor, I'd love to refer you to her. After all the results were taken from my final exam, my yearly exam, and you who are gentlemen knows what all those ingredients are for your annual exam, all the pokes and the prods and the needles and the, you can imagine, we can go on and go on. After all those results were back, here's what my doctor said to me. "Mr. Herod, for a man of your age, you're in good shape. You're in good shape for a man 20 years younger. Keep up your running and biking." And just when my grin told her I was pretty proud of myself, just when my grin told her I was glad that this doggone exam was finally over, then with a grin on her face, she walked over and put her hand on my shoulder and said these words, "But remember, you're not 25 anymore. You're 65. And then she printed out a form and said, "You will take this one more medical exam. I know it's kind of intrusive. You'll take this one more medical exam. I'll put the request in for you, and I'll see you in a few months. My goal is to keep you in good shape." All right, doctor. But you know, it's actually a wonderful thing to have someone in your life who takes care of you and keeps you in good shape. I thank God for my doctor. I thank God for my lovely wife who keeps me taking care of myself and in good shape. But my friends, even better for sinners like us is the care of our loving God. Through Jesus' death on the cross and his payment for our sins and resurrection victory, we have been all given a brand new shape. A brand new shape for all eternity. No longer are our lives in the shape of sin and death and condemnation. Because of Jesus, we are forgiven sinners, precious children of God, conformed to the image and shape of his Son. So when the Father sees us, he only sees us pure and holy and forgiven through Jesus the Savior. So today, Almighty God says to each of you here today, trusting in Jesus, you are in great shape from now unto life everlasting. Thanks be to God who gives us this forgiven great shape through Jesus Christ our Lord. And no annual exams are needed. Amen.